Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. A letter from our Foursquare Church in the U.S. says this. It's about praying the word over the next 21 days. It says, thank you for joining us for this 21 days of prayer and fasting. 2024, this annual time of dedicated prayer, which is coordinated by the U.S. Foursquare Church, now includes Foursquare churches and missionary workers around the world. As you pray each day from January 8th to the 28th, know that you are praying together with a global community of many tribes and tongues. Foursquare, I don't remember the last count. I know that we're over 140 nations in the world. I think we may have tipped over 150 nations of the world. This year, we will be praying the word. Each day, you'll be encouraged as you pray through scripture and are guided through times of prayer and reflection. For those who choose to fast over the next 3 weeks, you may abstain as it seems good to you and the Lord. Pray about it. Perhaps you're being called to give up a specific food, some sort of technology, or another habit. We know the Lord will bless your fasting practice. And I love how they close this letter. And we pray that you're blessed during this time of sacrifice. Thank you again for making the intentional time to pray in 2024. We can't wait to see how God uses this time. We can't wait to see how God uses this time as we as a Foursquare family around the world take 21 days to pray and fast and seek the Lord. In the prayer guide that Shauna mentioned that's available, you can either get it on your app, it's downloadable PDF, or on the website. The prayer guide each day will have a focus. The first thing we start off in on the first day of tomorrow is offering praise. There will be a scripture. There will be reflection on God's word. There will be prayer and contemplation. But it's a guide that walks you through what we're doing as a family. And it's amazing to me as we talk about, as we enter this, the focus is offering praise. It's about God who is the creator. And so there's an encouragement on the first day to take some time and somehow get outside and to look up in the heavens and just acknowledge the glory of God and all around the world. And because Foursquare is in so many nations, it's all around the world in different time zones. So 24 hours, we're going to see people praising the God of creation as our Foursquare family. It's just a marvelous thing to be able to do together, to know that you're a part of something. Well, and this morning, I would like to talk to us about your posture. And I want to help you with your posture in these next 21 days as we approach this prayer and fasting. There's two kinds of posture. There's dynamic posture and there's static posture. Dynamic posture has to do with how you hold yourself when you're walking or running or when you bend over to pick something up. That's dynamic posture. You're in motion. Static posture is your posture as you sit, or as you stand, or even as you're sleeping. But I'd like to talk to you about your spiritual posture as we face these 21 days. And hopefully I want to help you with not posturing, because posturing is a whole different definition. Posturing has to do with somehow drawing attention to yourself and moving and strategically being placed. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your posture, your leaning, your position into this as we dynamic posture, as we move through these 21 days, and static posture as you are still in the presence of the Lord as you open your heart. I so appreciate Oladunni sharing both during our time of prayer last week and the last time that she shared a prophetic word with us about open our hearts. And I believe that's just really what the Lord has for us in these 21 days, is open our hearts. Because as we open our hearts and open our lives, God is going to fill us. And I believe that God is going to do something very specific in our Foursquare family, in our church, and in your life as we move into these next 3 weeks. Years ago, when Audrey and I had moved from this church to Airdrie to start the church in 1992, we determined when we started the church that we would never pass the offering plate. I knew that was possible because my grandpa was an old Pentecostal preacher, and he never passed the offering plate. He just had a box at the back. And I didn't feel that it was sin or it was wrong to pass the offering plate. I just always wanted to just, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put it in front of people to give like that. We're going to have a box at the back. And I remember one Sunday, it was a five Sunday month. And those were the days when five Sunday months mattered. Because most preachers in North America at least would know what a five Sunday month meant. There's an extra offering that Sunday. And I remember, and finances were tight. And I remember, with our church council, we're always aware of when the Sundays fall, when there's a five Sunday month, to be able to make budget or whatever. And there's this extra Sunday in the calendar month. And it was a five Sunday month. And at the end of the service, everybody was gone. We opened the offering box and we removed a bulletin that was in it. Remember we used to pass out bulletins? We removed a bulletin that was in it that I had put in because I saw it crumpled up on the floor and there wasn't a garbage around. I thought, I'll just put it in here and take it out later. And there was a quarter. And that was it. And I learned an important lesson that day. Two things. One, to trust the Lord. And two, my dad said to me, well, if you want to get more out, you got to put more in. And that was the lesson of the offering box. Well, if you want to get more out, you got to put more in. And I thought, as we face these next 3 weeks, to get something out of this, I'd invite you to put something in. Investment of time. And I don't mean somehow to be confused that the more food you go without, or the more things that you sacrifice, that God is going to hear as if that's what he needs. This isn't about that. But it is about making an investment, a discipline, a decision, a determination. I'm going to talk about a couple points towards that as we just affect our posture towards this next time. Number one, would you define your desire? Define your desire. What I mean by that is, what do you desire in this time of prayer and fasting? What do you desire from the Lord? Scripture tells us this in John. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. There's all kinds of conditions in this. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And so in this time of abiding, in this time of taking time to dwell in his presence, we need to define our desires. I love that there's this such an open invitation to follow Jesus. He invites us. He welcomes us to follow him. Whoever would like to, the door is wide open. You want to follow Jesus? Come, follow me. The door is wide open. Although when we talk about following Jesus, it starts with this, come and see. But it leads us to a place of come and die. When John's disciples went to Jesus, said, where are you staying? He said, come and see. When Philip had told Nathanael, we've found Jesus of Nazareth. We've found the one the prophet spoke of. We've found the one we've been waiting for. And Nathanael will say, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Philip will say, come and see. And so there's this tremendous invitation about following Jesus. It's wide, the door's wide open. Come and see. But he doesn't leave us there. Come and see. It's not somehow where we just come to spectate Jesus and what he's doing. That somehow he's looking to only draw a crowd. The Pharisees would come and they'd come and see, but let's see another sign, do another trick, do something. Jesus' invitation in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Another place Jesus will talk about, anyone who seeks to keep his life will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. And so there's this invitation to come and see. That it's wide open, but it's also just, He doesn't leave us there. It's come and see, and we learn to come to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow him. It's this progression. But even though it's our desire to follow Jesus, and that's even our slogan, our motto at Cornerstone Church, following Jesus together. Even though that we talk about following him, I am so convinced during this time of prayer and fasting, I'm convinced that the Lord would say this to you. What do you want from me? So when I talk about defining our desires, he would look at us and say, what do you want from me? Even specifically in this time, during this time, during this season, when our family around the world is fasting and praying and drawing close to God, as we're doing this together, he would look at you as an individual and say, what do you want from me? And the answer is not, well, he's God. He knows everything. He knows anyway. I don't need to define my desire. Scripture will say we have not because we ask not. There's a crowd of people following Jesus. And outside of the city of Jericho, there's a blind man named Bartimaeus crying out, Jesus, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd's telling him to be quiet. And Jesus stops and he calls Bartimaeus to himself. The crowd says, rise, be of good cheer. The master's calling you. He throws off his garments that are laying there. He goes to Jesus and Jesus says these words, what do you want me to do for you? The whole crowd of people could figure out what Bartimaeus, well, he wasn't Bartimaeus till afterwards. Up until this point, he's blind Bartimaeus. After this moment, he'll be Bartimaeus, formerly known as blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, there's something about our faith engaging with our request. Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? When Jesus is asked about prayer, teach us to pray. When Jesus is about to teach us what we would call the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, he will preface it by saying, your Heavenly Father knows the things that you need even before you ask. God knows. We understand that. Sovereign God, he knows. He already knows the things that we need even before we ask. And then Jesus said, and so ask. Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now the Father who already knows what we need, every need, the hairs of our head are numbered, our tears are in a bottle. He is intimately acquainted with each one of us. Jesus said, then say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. We bring our requests to God. Ask of me. What's your desire? Define your desire. Is it that you want to be closer to God? I would even say probably helpful to be a little more specific and tangible, measurable, closer to God. How what does that look like? How do you know if you are or not? Do you want to be free from a habit? You want to be set free from anxiety? You want to see healing or breakthrough, direction, provision? I don't know what you would define as your desire. I spent probably half an hour, 45 minutes yesterday with a pencil and a book writing down what I desire in these next 21 days. Lord, this is what I want. Named all my family. Said, for this one, it's this. For this one, it's this. For this one, it's this. And I began to just write down, Lord, this is what I'm praying for. Praying for breakthrough, praying for healing, praying for provision, whatever it is. Wrote down so specifically. For me, I wrote down, I wrote it in a way that it would be memorable for me. So for Audrey, I just used A for Audrey, awareness of God's presence, that she would just be so aware of his voice, of his touch, of his will, of his path, of his nearness, that awareness. For my kids, for Robin, for Emily, for Doug, for Abby, I used the first letter of their name, and I said, this is it. So I don't need to go back and look what's written down. It is written on my heart. I know what I'm praying for. Define your desire. And the three of the most wonderful words are, I love you. But the three most practical words are, write it down. Write it down. Define it. And so you can keep it in front of you, not just on your heart. Like I said, mine is, I will look at that every day. This is what I'm praying for. Define your desire. And then secondly, determine your discipline. Here's where, this was the rest of the 45 minutes. Me trying to figure out how I'm going to respond. New Year's is a time for resolutions or for resolve, for discipline. But what we're talking about in these 3 weeks is not because the calendar changed, it's because our Foursquare family has called us to be a part of this. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and over all and in all, in whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, and our family is calling us to prayer. And so this is the time to pray and fast, and you don't want to miss it, but you will miss it if you don't determine your discipline. You will miss it if you don't determine your discipline. How am I going to respond? I do not believe in accidental fasting. That's called missing a meal. That's not what fasting is. Rather, it's setting this time aside to draw near to God. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5. Jesus speaking, he's going to speak in response to an accusation. They said to him, Luke 5, verse 33, it says this, Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Jesus, how come all the religious people are doing religious things, and you and your disciples are, it's a party? Like, what's going on? Shouldn't you be more spiritual? Verse 34, and he said to them, Jesus speaking, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. This isn't the time. You're missing it. I'm here now. There will be a time, but this isn't it. Then he spoke a parable to them. He said, no one puts a piece of a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new one makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. You sew on an unshrunk piece of cloth onto a pre-shrunk clothing, put it in the water, it shrinks, it tears, it pulls apart. And the hole that remains, it's going to be worse than what was. Verse 37 says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst in burst the wineskins and will be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. He goes on to say, a new wine must be put in the new wineskins, and both are preserved. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says the old is bitter. Somebody's saying, if you do it at the wrong time, you're going to wreck everything. You're going to wreck everything. The clothes, the wine, not only does the wine get spilled out, but the skins are ruined. They're garbage. You're going to miss. You're going to wreck everything. Don't do it at the wrong time. Do it at the right time. When we're gathered together for our Christmas meal as our church family and we're shared, that's not the time to be fasting. But as our Foursquare family around the world is calling us to join with them to pray and fast, this is the time. Jesus said there would be a time. And I think it's just so wonderful that we get to do this together with so many people all over the planet. Discipline is an effort. No discipline is pleasant at the time, but the results are. The results of discipline. There's a great difference between punishment and discipline. Punishment is you're going to suffer for your past behavior. And discipline is you are going to be trained and instructed for a better future. That's why we don't punish our kids. We discipline our kids. In fact, we discipline them because we love them. Proverbs tells us this. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So that has to do with discipline for a better future. And as we have some discipline in our life, there may be some things that you give up that it's not so pleasant to give up. There's a sacrifice. I love the invitation, the letter that I read at the beginning saying, may God bless our sacrifice. The things that we sacrifice, that we joyfully sacrifice, that we willingly sacrifice as we're trained in righteousness in this season. So you get to determine what you will discipline yourself with. And it'll take some effort on your part. Maybe it'll be food. Maybe it'll be sleep. Maybe it'll be other pleasure. Maybe there'll be entertainment. Maybe it'll be coffee. Well, hang on. No. Maybe it'll be coffee. If it's coffee, you really need to check your attitude by day three. But the focus is not, loved ones, the focus isn't what we're giving up. It's what we're giving ourselves to. However you choose to participate, and it's not a competition. However you choose to participate, the focus is not on what we're giving up or what we're missing out on. If you're giving up food or TV or social media or reel scrolling, the focus isn't on ourselves. The focus is on being with the Lord in prayer and meditation, in listening for his voice. Maybe it's in times of worship. I'm going to take time and stop, and I'm going to worship God through prayer, through song. Maybe it's you're going to sit and listen to worship music and just be in his presence. Maybe it's just instrumental music you're just going to have in the background, and you just come into his presence. A couple years ago, we taught a prayer course, and one of the simplest and oldest prayers is, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Maybe it's just it's waiting in his presence. Holy Spirit, come. Fill my life. Number one, define your desire. What do you want from this time? Take the time to define your desire. What do you want shifted? Maybe if it's not, I don't need this whole thing to change, but I need this to shift. I need this to move. Define your desire. Lord, this is what I'm praying for. Secondly, determine your discipline. Don't just have intent. Be intentional. So it's not enough just to define the desire. That's my intent. It's the discipline that comes along with that. Be intentional. Write down your commitment. Maybe it's that you're going to go without one meal a day for the 3 weeks. If you do that, that's 21 meals. That's fasting an entire week. Maybe that will be new for you to set aside one meal, and however long it takes you to eat, well, I'm going to take that time. I'm going to pray and read my Bible. I'm just going to be with the Lord. I'm going to draw near. I'm going to pray about these things. Maybe you're going to take your money that you would normally spend on coffee or lunch or going out, whatever, and you're going to give that to missions. You're going to invest that. You're going to give that to benevolence. You're going to do something with that for someone else. When we read Isaiah, and it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen, that I'll share my bread with the hungry? And it's maybe you will take what would normally you would take for yourself, and you're going to give that. Maybe you're going to follow the prayer points and say in that prayer booklet that they've published, I am going to spend time. I will just use the guide. If you don't normally, if you're not accustomed to taking time, any kind of amount of time, even 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day with the Lord, here's your chance to learn and grow and to stretch, and just, you don't know what to do. Follow the guide. There's scripture, there's prayer, there's thoughts. You can write down some things. That can be a start. I'm going to spend some time, whatever it is, reading through the Gospels over this next 21 days. I'm going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And just let the story of Jesus, I'm going to be saturated in that. Maybe reading isn't your thing. You know what? The Bible was never meant to be read. That showed up with the printing press. God's word is meant to be heard. His voice. That we hear his voice. So many people read the Bible and don't hear his voice. It is the living word speaking to us. So it's not just about reading or studying. We need the voice of God. And so maybe, on your Bible app, whatever you have, if you have the, you can just listen to God's words and let Him speak to you. Maybe it's getting up 15 minutes earlier a day, saying, I'm going to set aside this time. Maybe it's praying, maybe it's reading your Bible, maybe it's the prayer book, whatever. But somehow, determine your discipline. Define your desire. God, this is what I'm praying for. Determine your discipline. This is what I'm going to do. For me, last night I wrote down the 3 weeks, and I thought of something I've never thought before in prayer and fasting. I thought, I wonder if I give up this week, and give up this week, and give up this week. Rather than just the whole 21 days, I don't have a rock solid answer of what I'm doing. That's this afternoon, to just come away. But I started the process to determine my discipline. How am I going to respond to this? There's some things that'll be the whole 21 days. Others will be, okay, for this week. And just somehow let it be the spirit of God leading me in this. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm taking the time to define my desires and to determine my discipline. And next week, I wanted to talk about this today, but as I was writing, I thought, oh man, this sermon will be everlasting. And so next week, I'm going to talk about discovering your delight in this, that this will not be a drudgery. This won't just be about sacrifice or discipline or what we give up. God has delight for us in this next season, in these next 3 weeks. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I believe, I'm confident, I know that there's something very, very unique about this season, these next 3 weeks with our Foursquare family. I don't know if it's because of the times that we live in. It's not like somehow the other times of fasting and prayer weren't significant or important. But there is a call from the Spirit of God, I think, on our lives and on our church and our Foursquare family to do this together. And as I was preparing this third point that I'm eventually going to get to next week, there's a scripture that came to mind. I was reading in Psalm 37 about delighting yourself in the Lord, and we're going to read that, or a portion of it. But I was thinking about that scripture, and maybe some of you know it. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I thought somehow I wanted to include that. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So I was reading Psalm 37. I didn't write it down. I was like, oh yeah, I want to include that somehow. And then it slipped away, and I continued to look at Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 says this in verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And we're going to look at that text next Sunday. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And as I was looking at that passage, I looked up that word desire, and it only appears one other time in Scripture. Our English translations, you will find desire written many times in the Bible, but it's this word translated desire. It only shows up two times. This is one of them. But the desires of your heart. And as it does, I'm going to show you the other place in Scripture. And it's because this other psalm, I really think that is what the Lord has for us as a congregation. I don't know if it's our Foursquare family worldwide, but I feel like this is, for us, cornerstone. It's Psalm 20. It's written by David to the chief musician, and it says this. And this, I mean, this is my prayer for you, for our church, as David's prayed this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Yeah, did you hear the murmur of amen right there? May the Lord add, this is it, loved ones, this is it. This is gold right here for us. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary. And may He strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. It's this moment of our offerings and our sacrifice David says, may God accept this, and I am convinced that we are acceptable in his sight as we walk through this. And then it says, Selah, which means pause, ponder, stop, think about this. What happens if God does this? If that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. Now watch this. Verse 4, you're going to hear the word desire, but this is not what I'm talking about. Verse 4, it says this, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purposes. And we say amen to that. Grant you our heart's desire and fulfill your purposes. Even though it's translated in English here, desire, that's not the word that we heard about earlier. I'll show you where the word is. This is our posture. This is our stance. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We're camping here. As God delivers us, as he hears our prayers, as he hears our cries, we're making camp right here. Now may the Lord fulfill all your, and this is it, petitions. It's translated desires before it's translated petitions right here. When we talk about our desires, trust in the Lord, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. It's not just the things we hope for or wish for or deep down. We're turning those desires into petitions. It's those things we're going to pray. We're going to ask for. We're going to articulate. We're going to say in faith. We're going to extend our faith to the God who hears. And then it goes on to say, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven and with saving strength of his right hand. And this is where I stumbled upon this verse again. Some trust in chariots. Imagine my surprise. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Psalm 20 is our inaugural song for these next 21 days. The Lord is going to hear our desires and grant our petitions as we come before him. Let's pray. Lord, we set aside this time and season to seek you. I pray for each person here that you would help us, each one of us, define our desires in a very redemptive way, answering the question, what is it that you desire? What is it that you want from me? God, I pray you would help us to define that. God, that we would be crystal clear on what we are praying for, what we are contending for, what we are believing for. And God, that you would help us determine our discipline. Not only knowing what we want to see accomplished, but how we are going to respond, each one of us, to this global call of prayer and fasting. God, help us to determine how we are going to fast, when we are going to fast. God, help us to know what we are going to fast. God, the times of prayer, the season of prayer, God, that we would be intentional and not accidental, that there would be something of a date, of an appointment with you, God, and you would help us to be faithful. God, in this, we pray that you would give us our daily bread. For you are the living bread, you're the bread of life. God, in this time, we pray also that there would be a cleansing of our lives. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those who have a clean hearts, who's not offered ourselves to idols. God, give us clean hands, give us clean lips, cleanse us. I pray that you would search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in us, O Lord. That this would be a cleansing time in our church and in our lives. That you would forgive us our sin. God, we invite the spotlight of your Holy Spirit to illuminate the things in our lives where we need to get right. God, that this would not be a condemning time, but that this would be a healing time as we would see you transform us. God, we pray you would lead us not into temptation. God, you'd give us strength and wisdom and resolve by your Spirit. We'd be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, but you would deliver us from evil. God, this world that seeks to conform us into its mold, you would so transform and shape us. Your word tells us that as we behold you, we are changed from glory to glory. I pray for the glorious presence of God upon our church, upon our lives. There would be transformation that takes place, a metamorphosis. Old things would pass away, all things would become new, a newness, oh God. If anyone's in Christ, we would be a new creature, a new creation. God, do a new work in us in this season, we pray. We pray for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.